This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. It may sound morbid, but there are certain businesses that can thrive after a terrible natural disaster. And that's the case in Japan right now. NPR's John Burnett introduces us to some of those businesses.
One of the busiest companies in northern Japan these days is Okada Ion. They manufacture the steel jaws attached to diesel excavators that are removing debris and looking for bodies up and down the coast. We can't cover the demand. We're trying to get all the available jaws from all over the country, says Noboru Takahashi, general manager of the branch office in the city of Morioka. His office services the communities of the upper northeast coast that were lacerated by the tsunami. We've already sent 40 jaws to the coast, and we'll ship another 100, he says. We're buying used ones everywhere we can find them. In the shop, mechanics prepare the iron grapples, as they're called, for shipping. Though the company's stock has taken off in the past 3 weeks, Takahashi says he's putting in long hours because his country needs him in this time of crisis. I feel like it's my mission as a Japanese to deliver this equipment as quickly as possible, he says. When the sea roared inland, it swept up thousands of cars, and when the wave retreated, it cast them off like so many crushed beer cans. Naoki Sugawara stands in his used car lot in Morioka beside a sold-out sign. He says these days 80% of his customers are coming from the coast to replace their smashed vehicles.
Before the earthquake, it was mostly young people who were starting a new job and wanted to buy a cool car. After the quake, I'm selling lots of inexpensive mini trucks that can haul cargo, the kind of trucks the fishermen lost.
Sugawara expects to double his sales figures, and he could probably do even better, but he's having a hard time getting vehicles. There's already a waiting list for new cars in Japan because of production and transportation problems caused by the disaster. Japanese investors looking for tsunami profits quickly bid up the stock of ERI, which stands for Evaluation, Rating, and Inspection. It's Japan's largest building inspection company, with 700 employees nationwide. Minoru Okada is chief of the Morioka office.
The other day, our stock price rose by 70,000 yen before buying was stopped because the climb was too fast. If you ask me, I think they're overvaluing our company.
Eventually, ERI will be very, very busy inspecting new construction along the coast, but the expectation of new business is premature. Traveling through these obliterated communities, one gets the impression that everyone, from newly homeless residents to beleaguered city officials to heavy equipment operators searching for corpses, are still in a state of shock. Eventually, Japan's big construction companies will move into the tsunami zone and shake off a nationwide slump in the building industry. But nobody knows when that will happen. Stefan Lippert, a business professor at Temple University's Japan campus, says after the 1995 Kobe earthquake, there was never any question that that important city had to be rebuilt. But that's not the case with the lightly populated northeastern coast.
We do not know at the moment which city or which village actually will be rebuilt, who's going to pay for that, or to what extent it will be rebuilt.
During reporting trips to a half dozen destroyed cities along the Pacific coast, this was the only new construction that was witnessed. The carpenter tells us they're framing this small apartment house that was washed away in the town of Yamada. The owner doubtless believes there will be tenants needing rooms when reconstruction begins, whenever that will be. John Burnett, NPR News, in northern Japan.